If you was Paul, what would you tell that young man? I mean, you led him to God. You're trying to get him some strength and some stamina and some education, if you will, some whatever it's going to take, because you know, because as you look back through your ministry up to the point where you got Timothy now, you know what he's going to go through from this point that way. So what would you tell him? See, what would you try your best to make sure that he got? So you need to think about that, because every one of you need to find a Timothy somewhere and raise them for God Almighty. Now, they might be in your own house. They might be your own babies, or your own children. You could raise them for Jesus. And you got to remember something now. You can't just come home and prop your feet up and take a nap for supper and then watch the news and go to bed at night, because there's youngins around that need some spiritual instruction. This is Yes in New York, okay? Little Gracie May. Now, she don't understand a whole lot of nothing right now except what her and Jesus talk about and Mommy. But I'm just telling you, that baby needs to know about God. And you start early, putting it in their ears and putting it in their hearts and putting it in their minds. And listen, youngins ought to learn how to pray before they learn how to play. They need to play. Old linebacker over there, he needs to play. He does. He needs that energy, boy, just to run it out of him. Amen. Put him asleep at night. Huh? But he needs the spiritual side of him way worse. Amen. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that's what Paul's doing to Timothy. You find 2 Timothy? Let's stand together. Look at me, please, in verse 1 and 2. And then tonight we're going to another verse, all right? Remember, now we're just dealing with just a simple thoughts. Now, there ain't nothing I'm telling you that you haven't heard 100 times. But you need to just listen again, all right? Listen again. Paul to Timothy. Chapter 2 now. Would you run over to chapter 2 and would you look with me, please, in verse 15. Paul to Timothy. Study. Well, let me help you a little bit. Back up to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Same teacher, same student. Verse 12 and following. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, till I come. Until I come back and give you some more instruction, till I come and face you face to face, until we fellowship again together around the table, whatever, till I come. Look at this. Give attendance to reading. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. And you all need to search and find that gift that God's given you, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Look at this one, great word. Meditate. Lost art in our day. Meditate. Upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. There ought to be a change in your life, Timothy. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself. Now listen, he's not talking to a lost man. He's talking to a saved man. You'll save yourself, Timothy, if you'll read and meditate and take heed. You'll save thyself and them that hear thee. Well, if he was already saved, preacher, what's he saved? Get him saved from? Himself. And sinning against God. That's what reading and studying helps us do. If I hide these words in my heart, I will not sin against him, what the book says. When you and I, my dear family, study and read, we are further down the road in victory than we are any other time of our day. Now, I know your schedules are so that it's just tough sometimes, all right? It really is. But you're going to have to do it. Now, I'm going to hurt you because I love you, okay? You believe that? All of you look at me. How many of you did not have time to read your Bible today yet? Well, thank God you're a church. Amen. Because I'm going to show you some verses and you'll be able to say when you leave, I've read some of my Bible today and praise the Lord. Amen. See, church is a help to you. God knows we're busy. Now, God knows we're also too busy. And He wants us to start taking some time, discipline ourselves to get this book and learn what He has to say. Let's pray about it. Father, some of your kids in here, Lord, didn't have time yet to read. And so I'm glad they're at church tonight. Because, Lord, we're going to look at some scriptures and they're going to look at it with me. And so they'll be able to say they've read some Bible today. And I'm glad of that. But Heavenly Father, that's not enough. They need to discipline themselves to, you know, read some Bible and study a little bit and help them a little bit, Lord. And I pray that maybe after tonight they already know it's a necessity, Lord, but it just seems like the cares of this world choke the Word out of us so much. So much to do and so little time to get it done, it seems like. And then, Lord, sometimes we get this figured out and we got to go do, and what we started to do was only going to take 30 minutes, takes all day. Sometimes, Lord, every 5-minute job's an hour's worth of job. And, Lord, it's like working on a car. It ain't nothing to change a filter, but sometimes them filters won't come off because Samson put them on. And, Lord, it takes all day to do it. I've been there. And, Lord, I pray that you just help us find the time to read and study our Bibles, Lord, from this night forth. Father, those that are here tonight that are not saved by the grace of God, Father, the enemy of their soul will endeavor to keep them away from the Bible, keep them away from church, Lord, so because he knows that that faith is going to come by hearing of that Word, and if they don't hear it and they don't read it, they ain't going to get enough faith to get saved. And I'm asking you, Lord, to do a work in the hearts of each one. Open our hearts to this. Lost and saved, I pray for it in the name of Jesus. Amen, my Father. Amen. You may be seated, family. Paul was encouraging Timothy to read and study 1 Timothy 4 and 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. He said to study to show thyself approved unto God. Now, there are men and women across the land that are studying the Word of God, but they're not studying the Word of God for God. They're studying the Word of God for man. And they're educated beyond their humility. And knowledge has puffed them up. And they couldn't get in this building here because their heads are so large. They've just packed it full of things. There's men I know in the Deep South, especially. I mean, you can't stump them on quoting that Bible. I mean, you start a verse and they'll finish it. I mean, they got it. But then they make sure you know they got it. And God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So under what power are they ministering if their arrogance won't let them just humble themselves before Jesus and just do this for God Almighty? Now, my family, listen to me. Reading and studying are very important things. Reading helps you be familiar with the Scriptures. You need to read the Scriptures every day. You need to find portions of the Bible to read every day. You say, preacher, there are just days I don't have time. I understand all that stuff. I'm just trying to tell you, Jay. So you need to read the Bible so you get familiar with the Word of God. And in that familiarity, my dear family, you'll get a hunger and a desire for the words of the Lord. You really will. You'll get to the place where you just can't read a page and go to work. You just can't read a chapter and then turn it off and watch your favorite movie. The Word of God will grip you. The Word of God will get a hold of you. If you read it and you love it, my dear family, and there'll be a desire in your life. But study's different. Study is where you get your understanding. Studying the Bible, my dear family, is not just a read a page and then try to remember a word that you read today. Studying is a focus on an item that you read about. Focusing on a page, focusing on a verse, focusing on say you study 2 Timothy, all right? You're studying the chapters there. You're listening to the Holy Ghost, and He's explaining to you not only what He said, but why He said it. He's explaining to you why Paul said to Timothy to study to show thyself approved unto God. Why should Timothy study the Bible to show himself approved unto God? He's saved by the grace of the Lord. All right? That alone pleases the Lord, so Jesus don't die in vain for him. All right? So that's why that is. But I want you to realize something, my family. Life begins at salvation. It don't end there. And when you and I get saved by the grace of God, it's only the beginning of a wonderful life. And I'm not talking about Jimmy Stewart. Okay? All right? It's the beginning of a life that you walk with God, and God walks with you, and there are times when you don't know what in the name of sense you're supposed to be doing, but God does, and so you don't really understand. You're led by the Spirit of God. They that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God, God says in the book of Romans. And so as you learn this book, my dear family, and study this book and read this book, you learn to discipline yourself to be a scholar. Why? Because you can't do it without discipline. You can't get up in the morning and go, "For she doted upon her paramours, whose flesh is as the flesh of asses, and whose issue was like the issue of horses." What's that mean, Ezekiel? Ezekiel 22, what's that mean? See, you can't just do that. Because you're going to, ain't going to take animals to work with you. You're not going to go all day long remembering that verse, okay? It just ain't happening. And study helps you, my dear family, focus and discipline on something that you have read that can benefit you during the day. And that's what you need to show yourself approved unto God, so you can be benefited during the day as you read the Word of the Lord. A disciple or a learner or a scholar, if you will, is one who receives instruction from someone else. And that's what Timothy's doing. He's receiving instruction from Paul. And as these two letters or these two books or these two epistles were written to that young man, my dear family, it is absolutely, there's no way to cover it. It's absolutely chock full of things that need to be dealt with all the time, things that need to be worked on all the time, things, my dear family, that can be put, listen to me closely now, in shoe leather. You need to learn what part of that book you can put in shoe leather. Because you need to walk this Bible. I need to walk this Bible. Everyone needs to walk this Bible. Why? Because God Almighty said this is the way, walk ye in it. He said, listen, don't go to the right hand or to the left. And then don't look back. We've got to walk in this book. He said, why, preacher? Because everything around us is against God. Amen. The only thing that's not against God in here next to you is the one next to you. But out there, it ain't like that. Out there, the music's against God. The governments are against God. And the politicians are against God. And different churches are against God. And anybody that doesn't like authority is against God. And I'm trying to get you to understand, this Bible will help you figure that all out. This Bible will give you discernment. If you learn the book of 1 John, five little chapters is all it is. You learn that book right there, you can discern anybody and everybody you meet. You'll be able to tell whether they're saved or lost. You won't get to the end of the second chapter before the Holy Ghost will reveal to you whether they're saved or lost. He said, "But what are you saying?" I'm saying you learn that from the book. You read the Bible. And I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but I'm trying to get you to understand something. In order to be one who studies God, you're going to have to make up your mind, I'm never going to get out of this. I'm going to be a career student. There's no graduation, there's no diploma, you just stay right in this thing all the way out. I've been 40, 41, 42 years now, married 43, say 42, 42 years I've been studying that Bible. And you said, "Preacher, what do you know about it?" Not near enough. Not near enough. You said, "Why?" Because, my dear family, I have not learned it all, and there's no way under the sun that I'm going to learn it all down here, or all them chapters and all them verses and all them books and all that stuff, but I'm telling you what, I'm going to read that Bible. I'm going to study that Bible as much as I can to study to show myself approved unto my God. Why? We'll look at the next part of the phrase. A workman. Listen, my love, we're not the professor. We're the student. God, the Holy Ghost, is the professor. The Lord God Almighty is the teacher of us. He's the writer of this Bible. He's the author of this book. And He wants us to study so we can be good workmen. And workmen needeth not be ashamed. A lot of times we're ashamed. And listen, many and many and many a day on the streets of America in years gone by, they didn't want to know an answer. They just wanted to pick a fight. I had a woman one time, a man one time down in the streets of New Orleans. I was working Canal Street downtown New Orleans one time. And this guy come up and asked me a bunch of harebrained questions. I mean, clean out past Mars and Venus. He come back in around through there. And he looked at me. I'm standing with a Bible in my hand and gospel tracts. I'm passing out tracts. And I'm walking and passing out the tracts and trying to talk to people. And he's right here. Right there, Brother Jeff. Right there. Well, usually when they get right there, I just ignore them. And I just kind of up the preaching a little bit harder. You know what preaching does. Yeah, right. Covers your face full of spit. Amen. Yeah, back them up. Amen. Yeah. Boy, he was on me bad. I mean, what kind of preacher are you? What the answer to this question? What about with this right here? And have you ever gotten the second blessing? I said, I don't even remember what it was. And on and on and on. And then I thought I got tired of him. All right, after 10 minutes, I got tired of him. I said, sir, you don't want no answers. You're just here to pick a fight, to disturb me, to bother me, to keep me from passing out tracts to people who want to know something about Jesus. And his wife's pulling him away. And he said, Richard, what are you saying? I'm saying, my dear family, sometimes that Bible says, listen, cast your pearls. Sometimes it says, answer not a fool. Amen. Amen. Sometimes it says, put them pearls back in your pocket. See, our whole life ought to be monitored and led by the Holy Ghost. Amen. And it does it by His Word. Here's some evil coming up. Abstain from all appearance of evil, it says. There ought to be a verse come up between us and whatever it is that comes up in our life. Every time we turn around, the Holy One is trying to get us to use the Word of God. Now, how can that happen if I don't know it? How can that happen if I haven't read it? Reading, again, remember, reading brings familiarity. Study brings understanding. You can use the Word of God to protect yourself. You can use the Word of God to keep yourself out of mischief. Keep yourself out of some kind of a testing. Keep yourself out of some kind of temptation. You can keep yourself out of a whole lot of stuff if you use that Bible verse. He said, preacher, which one? All of them. Amen. Every one of them. Amen. I remember one time I was talking to a fellow and he was absolutely beside himself, scared to death that Iran was going to nuke Israel. And I said, don't worry about it, it ain't going to happen. He said, it is too. He said, there's a maniac over there, and he's going to nuke Jerusalem. He's going to kill all them Jews. I said, it ain't going to happen. Don't worry about it. He said, why you know that? I said, because the Bible says my Jesus is going to reign on David's throne in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. I said, ain't no way in the world they're going to nuke it. He said, where'd you get that? See, it'll keep you calm. You don't have to watch the news and stay up all night worrying. Just read the news. You don't have to watch the Bible. You can read the real Bible. Let the Holy One say that again to you. You don't have to watch the Bible. You can read God's real Bible. The media is the lost man's Bible. They believe everything MSNBC says. Everything CNN says. Everything NBC says. Everything CBS says. Everything ABC says. Come on now. They believe it as gospel. They don't have no clue what's really going on. But some news broadcaster, some whatever, said it. And all of a sudden, now their whole world is topsy-turvy because of it. They watch their Bible.
and it ruins their minds. It poisons their minds. It has filled their hearts full of hate. You and I can read our Bible and fill our hearts full of love.
Amen.
You and I can read our Bible and just go to bed calm. You know they're going to tear this place up. Really? When? I'm telling you, that guy's a maniac. I said, well, don't worry about it. He couldn't believe it. He came up with something just the other week. I was there. He came up with something just the other week. I said, you want me to read to you about that out of the Bible? He said, what? I said, you want me to read to you about that out of the Bible? He said, that's in the Bible. I said, two or three places. Which one you want? He said, none. See what I'm saying? Now, could I do that if I didn't know where it was? Could I do that if I didn't have familiarity with it at least? Now, I may not have studied that certain subject, all right, that anybody anywhere might bring to me. I may not have studied that. And I've told people that on the streets. I said, listen, I've never studied that subject real good, but I'll tell you what I'll do. If you've got enough guts to come back next week when I'm out here, and this is down in New Orleans now, I said, I'll be glad. I'll take some time this week and study that out, and I'll bring you an answer next week. And they never show up. Listen to me, love. They can combat our reading, but they cannot combat our studying. Study puts the shoe on the other foot. Study brings the power to our side. Studying makes us the offense and no longer the defense.
Amen.
Timothy? Yeah, Paul? Study. Study.
Don't just read. I want you to do that, but I want you to study. I want you to be like they say in 1 Peter there. I want you to desire the sincere milk of the Word that you can grow by. I want you to drink all that good milk you can do it. I want you in 2 Peter 3, I want you to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Timothy, you can't do that unless you read. I want you, till I come, I want you to give attendance to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. I want you to pay attention to what you're reading. Watch what you're reading. Give attention to it. Give attendance to it. Don't just read it and then try to figure out, what did I read? Now, I don't know if you loved ones are like me, all right? I never could get through school when I was a youngin', way back yonder. When I was a youngin' in the 50s, if I had an assignment to do, I had to do it. Listen, it's no kid, Brother Paul. I had to do it over and over and over and over and over and over again before I could get it.
Yeah.
Repetition is the only way I can get anything. Yeah. All right? Our boy, when he was in school, he was in 1,800 words. With a 95% comprehension. I mean, he just goes like this. He's, give me the test. Not me. Now, our daughter's like me. You give her that, she'd be 6 weeks before she'd get anywhere near it. Right? She's like her daddy. Repetitious. I got to go over it and over it, over it and over it again and over it again. He said, preacher, why? Because, my dear family, every time I go over it, the light comes on brighter and the light comes on brighter and the light comes on brighter. And I want to know what God said. Now, listen to me closely. There's a lot of applications. And the Holy Ghost says this is the interpretation thereof. I can apply a lot of pieces of that Bible in many different areas of my life. But the bottom underlying principle of that thing is what the Holy Ghost says it means in every situation. And as I interpret that Word of God and I look at that Word of God by the power of the Holy Ghost, I see in the Bible a thirst. Like Matthew 5 said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. If I take the application of this, 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 and this, and the Holy Ghost says this is the application of all of that, righteousness under here. Living right here, living right there, living right there, living right there. I then walk on the principle, and I can put to work all that I'm learning and all that I'm absorbing and all that I'm getting, because I've learned what the principle is, what the base foundation is. Come on, you tell me. You know. Come on, you tell me. What is the base foundation of this entire book? The Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, is there different ones in this book? Is there different men in this book? Do they do different tasks in this book? Are there different ladies in this book? Did they do this? Did they do that? Did they do this? Yes. But the basic foundation that I stand on is this book is about the Lord Jesus Christ. So this man, somehow or another, is representing Christ or what Christ was going to do. How do you figure that? Take Joseph. Joseph was a type of Christ. You study Joseph's life and you study the Lord Jesus' life and you'll see Jesus all through there. You take a look at a lot of folks' life in that Bible, my dear family, and if you know where you're supposed to be looking and what you're supposed to be really seeing down underneath of all the verses and underneath everything, what you see down there is you see the Lord Jesus' footprints and they're walking in the Savior's footprints. And they're trying to show us God. They're trying to show us Jesus. They're trying to show us salvation through the grace of God. They're trying to show us repentance. They're trying to show us how to live for God in an adverse situation. Jesus did. Jesus, my goodness, family, they're trying to kill him from day one, or not? And they're trying to kill this guy from day one, and this guy from day one, and this guy from day one. And they're just simply trying to show you the basic principle of that Bible. But you never know that unless you study that. Now I know this is a homeschool lesson tonight, but I want you to get this. You gotta have a desire to read and study this book. Now I know what Solomon said. Solomon over there in Ecclesiastes 12 said study's the weariness of the flesh. And it is sometimes. You get tired and weary. Sometimes your mind just goes completely bonkers trying to figure out what in the world God's trying to tell you. But a lot of times, my dear family, you just simply set that aside. Go on with your reading. Go on with whatever. And then you come back. Because in a little while, God shows you somewhere down there in your reading what you was trying to learn over here. Man, Lord, I see it now. Praise God. You run back over there and read it again. And say, now I got it. And God says, all right, good. Start from here. See, my dear family, a lot of folks get reading, they get confused, or they try to study and get confused, and they just say, oh, man, this thing don't make no sense to me.
Yeah, amen.
But it does make sense.
Amen.
I mean, remember, it ain't got but one theme. No matter what's going on, it's got one theme. Why did the Apostle Paul write to the Corinth church? Why did the Apostle Paul write to the Galatian church? Philippi church? Colossian church? Why did the Apostle Paul write the book of Romans? The entire book of Romans is about in Christ. What you're doing in Christ. What's happening in Christ. The power in Christ. The victory in Christ. Everything in that Romans text is in Christ. He's doing, what's he doing? He's simply putting the theme of the Bible on the base and he's just adding things to the top of it so that everybody can get a piece of it and buy it. He wants you to read and study and understand the doctrines of the book of Romans. He wants you to understand the pleasure it is that God's given you in the Word of God. And so as you and I read the Word of God and our desires mount up, our thirst gets more thirsty, we got to come to it with a truthful heart. You can't just come to God with a half heart. You got to come, I want to learn this book. Without that heart, you may get intellectually, but you will not get spiritually. Did you understand that? You can learn words. You can learn verses, books. But if your heart ain't in it, it will not help you one bit spiritually.
Amen.
Oh, you'll be a doctor of theology, all right.
And you'll be noted, and you'll be asked for, and you'll have a full schedule. But again, if God resists the proud, under what power do they operate? See, my dear family, we've got to understand that what God has done with this book is given us an opportunity to understand just how very low we are without Jesus and how very high He is as Jesus. And when we learn, my dear family, our proper position, and we study and we watch God, and we're a workman for God, and we're not ashamed of God, and we put this book together, my dear family, with a true heart, I want to learn this book. We finally realize, like it says, just flip up there if you want to, Titus chapter 1. Listen to what God's Bible says, Titus chapter 1. Paul, the servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Promised. What are you saying? I'm saying you get in this book with a true heart and you want to learn, and all of a sudden it dawns on you, every word of this book is true. God wrote this book down, and man would have never wrote all that stuff in there about that guy right there, but God wrote it down. God can't lie. My God ain't lying to me when He says that. My God's telling me the truth about that. He's telling me the truth about David. He's telling me the truth about me. He's telling me the truth about Solomon. He's telling me the truth about me. He's telling me the truth about old Jezebel. He's telling the truth about me. No matter where you look at that Bible, you realize finally God, who cannot lie, has wrote a Bible down for me to read and for me to study so that I can learn the personalities and the characters and the characteristics of the good and the bad. To realize my God has done a work of grace to bring me out of the Jezebels, bring me out of the Ahabs, bring me out of the devils, and bring me to a place of salvation. My God, who cannot lie, has promised me eternal life. My God has worked a work of grace that nobody anywhere could ever have done, and He no lie. He said, I saved you. And my friend, I could take that Bible and go prove that Bible, prove that Bible, prove that Bible. You see, preacher, I may not prove it to nobody else, but I prove it to myself. That Bible proves to me that God don't lie and He saved me. That Bible proves to me that God don't lie. He not only saved me, but He keeps me. That Bible don't lie. God not only saved me and keeps me, but I'll tell you what else it does. He washes me in the blood of Jesus when I come to Him in repentance and faith. He cleans me back up again. He don't discard me, don't shun me off, don't take me off, don't run me off. He said, you're my son, you come to me, I'll fix you. You come, boy, I'm going to help you a little bit. And this Bible cannot lie. And my God helps me when I come to Him with a true heart. Look with me, please, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm talking about reading and studying. Timothy, yeah, Paul, I want you to read the Bible and I want you to study. Yes, sir, Paul, I'm glad to do it. I want to read you a piece of Bible. You allow me to do it? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'll read you a piece of Bible. You ready? Look with me, please, if you will. Verse 2, or chapter 2, verse 2. Paul talking to the Corinth church. Now, this is in 1 Corinthians. Anybody know about that? 1 Corinthians. You read the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, you find out, boy, Paul had a big job on his hands here. 2 Corinthians ain't quite so bad, but 1 Corinthians is tough. But look at verse 2, chapter 2. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, there was a gossiping, backbiting, backstabbing. I mean, you read this book. I mean, son, there was a mess. Some was believing Paul, some was Apollos, some Cephas. I mean, they was just everywhere. He said, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm just going to hang with Christ. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power. See, his reliance was on God. It was not on his credentials. And Paul had a set of credentials, fellas. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Come on, stay with me while I read this to you. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world under our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now watch your Bible. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Do you love God tonight? But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. How's He do that? Faith cometh how? By the Word of God. Come on, talk to me. It's Wednesday, all right? We're talking together. I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Where are the deep things of God, dear church? In the book. What man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know. Pay attention closer now. Watch what how he writes this. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You ever dawn on you and I that this Bible is absolutely full of free stuff? It's what it said right there. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. He that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. How many times have you been told you ain't allowed to judge? Well, right there, God said the spiritual man judgeth all things. That's what he says. Well, who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The Apostle Paul telling a carnal bunch over there. I tell you point blank. We got our stuff from God. We're not over here trying to show off big giant 50-cent words. We're just going to tell you the absolute truth. I'm going to hang with Jesus Christ. What He tells me, I'm going to tell you. The deep things of God are in that book. The deep things of God are in there where you can find them. It's not hidden. It's been revealed now through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to know about God, it's available. Now, Corinth, there it is. Do something with it. And that's exactly what we do. We can't legislate your Christian life. Brother Fenton and I can't make you serve God. Can't make you live for God. We can't make you give God. We can't make you dress for God. All we can do is present the truth. Not with wisdom of man's words and, you know, 14 PhDs and all that kind of... No. Just plain old down-home shoe leather. This is Jesus Christ. This is how I want you to live. Now, it's your choice. You're not a mannequin or a puppet. You got a choice to make. You want to live for Jesus Christ? You want to live for yourself? That's the only two choices they are. You want to be faithful to Jesus Christ or you want to be faithful to the world? That's the only two choices they are. But I want to just tell you what the Bible says. And so that's what He's telling Timothy. He's telling Timothy, show thyself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Remember the first message? Don't be ashamed of the Lord or me. Don't be ashamed of us. Will you take the Word of God that you've read and that you've learned, that you've showed out a little bit, you'll be filled and fed the Word of God. God who cannot lie has wrote you a Bible. Do you have a truthful heart, Timothy? Is your heart true? You take a look at the Bible in your church and you'll find men. And I'll give you this for an example, if you will, please. Abraham had no Bible. No church. No man of God to follow. But he had something we all need. He had God. Come on now. Well, what happened? What was it that brought
Abraham. What was it that him and God had? What is the deal that God had? Listen to me. He didn't have a Bible to read, but he had prayer and presence. How can I explain this properly? God help me. Did Jacob have a Bible? Yeah, he had some. God came and talked to him. He had prayer and presence. See, but what are you saying? Timothy? Yeah, Paul? I want you to give attendance to reading, exhortation and doctrine. And I want you to study. Okay? Well, what do I do, Paul, if I don't understand it? Pray. And ask for the presence of God.
Amen.
That's what Abraham did. That's what Jacob did. Isaac. No Bible, no church, no pastor. But he had God. Moses. No church. No pastor. He wrote the Bible. Come on, verse 5, right? He wrote it down. I've looked at that many times, the writings of Moses, and it said that God said in his heart. How'd Moses know that? How'd Moses know what God said in his heart? He didn't have a Bible. We got God's heart wrote down in the Bible. How did Moses know God's heart? He had prayer in the presence. Do you know what happens when you open the Word of God? You enter into the presence of your God. Come on, stay with me now. Hang tight with me now. I'm about done. When you open the Word of God on a daily basis, when you open the Word of God, you are entering into the presence of God. And you look at the Bible and you say, now, Lord, talk to me. Tell me something. Show me something, Lord. Explain something to me, Lord. And so you have prayer and the presence when you open the book of God. That's why it's important to do it every day. That's why it's important as often as you can to get a hold of this thing. Because the reading and the studying of the Bible is for a number of reasons. Let me give you a couple, three of them, all right? One of them, the main one to do this, is to know God. Now, that's the main reason that you need to read and study the Bible, is so that you can know God. It ain't so we can lord it over everybody else and, you know, you're dumb and I'm small and I'm educated and you're an idiot. You know, No. No. The read and the study of that Bible, my dear family, is to know God. To read and study that Bible, number two, is to stop sinning. See, you don't know what sin is unless the Word of God tells you what it is. All unrighteousness is sin, and whatever is not of faith is sin, and to know to do good and doeth it not is sin, and on and on and on in that Bible. But my family, listen to me. Paul said so yonder in that book, and talked about how he did not know sin until he got a hold of this. That's why so many of our people could go right along in their deals, and they don't think they ain't even convicted about nothing. That's why they ain't convicted when we preach, me and Brother Fender, you other preachers in here, we preach about something, they ain't even bothered. And everybody in the whole neighborhood knows they're doing it. Why? They ain't never seen it in here. And I don't want to hurt you, but I'm just going to make a statement. I don't know what the percentage actually is, okay? But there's a whole lot of people in our churches today that even when they sit under the preaching of it, don't hear it. Because their pride has closed their heart. And all they're doing is literally just storing information. They don't hear what you're saying. You could even name their name and say, listen, you stand up. You're the one driving 72 mile an hour in a 50. You're the one doing it. And they don't even hear you. They think you're out of your mind. My dear family, listen to me. We're living in a world today that there's a massive famine of hearing the Word of God. And a lot of folks are sitting right inside the church of the living God and they ain't hearing what God's saying.
Amen.
The lost are hearing, you better get saved. Jesus is coming, but they ain't hearing it.
Yeah,
Pride has closed their heart. I pray all the time, Lord, open their heart, open their heart, and let what they're hearing, Lord God, let what goes in their head fall down into their spirit, fall down into their soul, Lord. God, help them understand they must repent or they're going to perish. They must turn from the world and self and turn to Jesus Christ. And I pray all the time, you say, why, preacher? Because, my dear family, until you and I know God, we cannot stop sinning. Now, you'll have to admit this unless you've got real trouble. You don't sin like you used to. Let me try it again. Child of God. Born again, blood bought, covered up, child of God. You don't sin like you used to. Why? What happened? Come on now. Personal or publicly, the Word of God got a hold of you. The Holy One convicted you. You said, listen, my goodness, I'm offending God. My goodness, God is angry with me about this. Lord, I don't want to offend you. I don't want to hurt your feelings. God, I don't want to do that. Lord, I'm sorry. Would you please help me? God, the flesh is weak, Lord. No. We ain't going that route. No, sir. You're my boy. You're my girl. You don't have to do what that is. I want you to stop it. And there's a bunch of stuff we have stopped since we've been saved. Amen. Come on now. It ain't completely over yet, but it's getting better. Hallelujah. And we can go to the Bible and say, Lord, is that wrong? God says, what's it say right there? But yeah, the Lord Grandpa said, I don't care what Grandpa said. What's my say? What's that book say? But this church over here is doing that. I know, and that's them. I'm talking to you. I ain't talking to that church. I'm talking to you. What do I say in this book about what you're doing? Well, Lord, it looks to me like you're saying it ain't right, and I ought not be doing it as a child of God. I'll abstain from all appearance of evil as a child of God. I ought not name the name of sin around me when I'm a child of God. I ought not be around all that kind of business. I'll separate myself from that crowd that's against God. I'll get away from that little world out there, love it not. I'll do all that stuff, God. God said, well, what else you need me to do? I wrote it down for you. And you're my child. And my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Lord, I'm saved. Good. Now you have the power to live what I wrote in the book. You didn't have that power aforetime. You could not live right before you were saved. But now that you're saved, you have the power to obey me. So this is your plan, right? Well, sure. No. Listen to me again, son. If you love me, keep my commandments. But Lord, I don't know them. They're not grievous, but I wrote them down for you. I knew you could never memorize them. I knew if somebody spoke them to you, you'd never hear it and get them all right. So I took me some time, and I told the Holy Ghost, I said, Spirit, you have to write down the Bible for my boy. You're going to have to write down that Bible for my girl. Because when the man of God says it, they won't remember it before they get to the car. So what I want you to do, Spirit, is I want you to write down my words. That way my son or daughter will have them with them and they can take them with them. They can open it up any time they want to and they can read it. They can study it and they can see it and they can come to church not guilty.
Amen.
It don't matter what Brother Fenton preaches on, they ain't guilty because they seen it in the book and they got shed out of it before Sunday. And they can come to church not afraid to death he's going to preach on something they're doing because they ain't doing it. My kids can come to church joyful. My kids can come to church praising God. My kids can enter into my courts thanking me and praising me and shouting the victory and singing the songs of Zion. Hey, write her down right there so my kids can have it with them at all times.
Amen.
Timothy, I want you to read a book. And I want you to study the book. So you'll know God. So you'll stop sinning.
And lastly, so you can help someone else get what you've got. So you can help somebody else know Jesus. When was the last time this was so precious? When was the last time you just couldn't do without it? I tell you right now, Riz, I gotta have my coffee in the morning. I know. Lord, speak to me. Lord, help me. Show me something, dear Jesus, that I need to know. I need to go to work. I need to go to school. I need to go to this, do this. I need something, Lord, that'll help me. God, give me something that'll help me today. Lord, I don't know what today may bring forth. I have no clue what's going on, Lord. I don't know where to even look in the Bible, Lord. But would you give me something? Would you give me something in here? Sure. Read this to me. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. And there's none occasion of stumbling in him. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there's no occasion of stumbling in him. What are you saying, Lord? You'll find out when you get to work. And a circumstance happens at work, and that verse, he who loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling. Thank you, Lord. He was getting my goat. He was pushing my buttons. No. I'm not going to keep him from you, Lord Jesus. I'm not going to blow my stack like everybody else around here does. I'm going to stay just cool and calm and obedient. And maybe it'll show on him that Jesus is my Lord. That's why you read the Bible. That's why you study to get understanding of what God's saying. Heads about, eyes are closed. Come on, Mama. Timothy, yeah, Paul. Study. Read. Get this thing in your body. Get this thing in your mind. Get this thing in your soul. My invitation tonight is to the lost. Preacher, I'm not saved. I can't say that I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but I'd like to have. Would you pray for me? I'll be glad to do it. All I ask is to pray. I won't talk to you, touch you, I won't come to you, nothing. All I want to do is remember you in prayer. Would you raise your hand, preacher? I'm not saved and I know it. Pray for me. Pray for me. Okay. Then the invitation then comes to you saints. I want to admonish you. I want to encourage you. I want to help you. I've given you tonight from the Word of God reasons to read and study. Thank God you read your Bible. But are you a student? Are you a scholar? Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Do you study Jesus Christ? If not, come and ask Him to help you get started. Sing, Mama.
Open my eyes.
Come on.
That I,
Lord, help me get started being a student.
Glimpses,
I'm already a reader.
Of truth. Thou,
but I want to study.
For me.
Help me rearrange my time so I have time to study.
The wonderful key.
Timothy, yeah, Paul.
That shall
I want you to read and study the Bible.
And set me free.
I don't want you to do it to show
I
off to the brethren.
Now.
I want you to do it to show yourself approved unto God.
For thee.
I want you to be a workman for God that's not ashamed.
Thy will.
The more you know that book, the less ashamed you'll be if they come up with questions.
Open my eyes.
The less embarrassed you'll be if they come up with something that you haven't studied. Because you can then tell them, I'll study that and get back to you.
It's a discipline, church. You have to discipline yourself to do it. Just like you discipline yourself to get up and go to work. Just like you mothers discipline yourself to get up and get your kids ready for school.
And while the way
you have to discipline yourself to study.
Everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my ears, illumine me. Spirit divine, open my mouth and let me bear gladly the whole warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare. Love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee.